Greetings and welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. As I say every week, I will say it again. If you ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, our CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us, and whenever you write to us, be sure to include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655, and I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather today, Lord, we continue to work our way through the book of Revelation, Lord, to look at messages that are so very timely, Lord, especially with what's going on in our world. Now these verses take on a completely different light. Father, my prayer is this, that if there be somebody that's listening today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation, that today that they would trust in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would repent of their sins and come to Him. So, Lord, take this message and use it, we pray, for Your honor and for Your glory, and it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Good to be with you again today on the Joy of Discovery radio program, and I trust that you have a Bible with you, and if you do, I'm going to ask you to open to Revelation chapter 6. This is part 6 of the seal judgments. We're doing a somewhat of an in-depth study of these seal judgments. And today, as we come back here to the book of Revelation, we're looking at the seal judgments that'll be that will come upon the judge. These are the beginning of the judgments that'll come upon the world in the 7-year tribulation period that is yet future. So far, we have looked at 4 of the seal judgments. We've looked at the first one. Seal number 1 was the Antichrist. Seal number 2 was peace removed from the earth. Seal number 3 was a famine, terrible famine that'll come. Number 4 was death of 1/4 of the world's population that will die, and they will die by 4 means, as we looked at last week. They will die by sword, by hunger, by death, which is disease, and by the beasts of the earth. And that number 4 is very significant because 4 is the number of the earth. There are 4 directions in the earth, north, south, east, and west. The Bible talks about the 4 winds of the earth. In the book of Daniel, there are 4 different metals that represent 4 world empires. So number 4 is the number of the earth. So what that means is that this fourth seal, that the quarter of the world's population, that will be a global catastrophe. It'll be global. It's equivalent to numbers. If you take the numbers today and you calculate them, that would be equivalent to all the people in the U.S., all the people in Japan, all the people in China, all 3 dying all at the same time. That's how many people we would be looking at for 1/4 of the world's population dying. Now, we've looked at, as we came through this judgment, each of these judgments were introduced by 4 horses of different colors. You had the white horse, you had the red horse, you had the black horse, and you had the pale and a sickly horse. Now, as we come to the fifth seal, there are no more colored horses, but there will be an announcement from, and there will be no announcement from heaven, nor will there be an invitation to John to come and see. And so that raises a question, and the question is why? And the answer is because what we're about to look at is not from God, but it is from the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. God will permit it, and He will use it. But it's not, it is in a sense not brought on by Him. What we're about to see in this fifth seal is the result of man's sinful heart. In this fifth seal, we will see how far man will go in order to suppress the truth of God. So this is Seal number five, this will be part one, watch verse nine. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. Now, when this seal is opened, John sees the souls of them that were slain for their stand on the word of God and for the testimony which they held. The first thing which we must do is determine who these slain saints are. Are they from the Old Testament? Are they from the church? Are they from the tribulation period? Or are they from every time period throughout history? These saints are from the tribulation period. There are a few things that we need to understand. I told you before that after the rapture, there will be no saved people on the earth immediately after the rapture. But we must also realize that after the church is raptured away, there will be, after the tribulation gets going, there will be a revival in the earth as the gospel is proclaimed. There's something else which will help us to better understand the context here. The first four seal judgment are the beginning of sorrows. After the beginning of sorrows, Jesus said there would be persecution. Listen to Matthew 24, 4 through 10. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Okay, now listen to this. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then, next word, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Here in Matthew 24, we see that in verses 9 and 10, they are parallel with Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11. I show you this to help you to understand that this fifth seal judgment is still before the great tribulation, which starts in the middle of the tribulation period, the middle of the 7 years. But so it's before the midpoint, but it's also after the beginning of sorrows, according to the words of Jesus Christ. So we're still in that, we're still in that first 3.5 years. Now, let me get you back to our question. Who are the martyred saints that are seen in the fifth seal judgment? The answer is they are believers who will die during the tribulation period. Watch verse 10 of Revelation 6. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Okay, just stop there for a moment. I read this verse to you to help you to see that the ones who persecuted the saints are referred to here. And this is a very important statement, as those who dwell upon the earth during the tribulation. So these are the same slain saints of that are killed during the tribulation period. Watch verse 10 again. Let me read it again. Now watch this. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? Now watch this. On them, now watch this statement, that dwell on the earth. I want to take a few minutes, and I want to just explain to you, first of all, how severe the persecution is going to be. You know, in the United States of America, we are soft, aren't we? We've not experienced persecution. We've not experienced that. As far as severe persecution, where you gotta wonder if somebody's waiting outside your home or somebody's gonna come in and take your life because of your faith in Jesus Christ, because you were a follower of Christ, that you and I have not had to worry about whether somebody's gonna come in and kill us or our family because of our stand for Christ. Okay, in the tribulation period, it's going to be far different. Listen to Mark 13, 5 through 13. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Now listen to the verse 9 of Mark 13. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to the councils in the synagogues, and in the synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now listen to this. Here in Mark 13, verses 9 through 13, we can clearly see the severity of the persecution which will happen in the tribulation. From these verses, we can see that there will be a mission on earth by the unsaved to eliminate those who are true believers. You know, they will watch for true believers. They will expose them. I'm reminded of, in the coronavirus, there were people that watched their neighbors, and if they went out or they did something that they shouldn't do, that somebody's calling the authorities and reporting them for breaking the, I don't want to say law, because a lot of it was not law. They were suggestions. They were breaking the suggestions. And so we've seen that during the coronavirus. So it's also going to exist during the tribulation period. These people will be taken before rulers and before kings. And whenever I read this in Mark 13, I also wonder if there will not be some sort of bounty placed upon true believers. The hatred for believers is going to be extremely severe. Because you got to understand that this kingdom, this seven-year period, this global kingdom, is the kingdom of the Antichrist, which is anti-God. And so, under that kingdom, and remember again, too, of the restraints being lifted off the demonic world, the hatred for believers is going to be terrible. Most likely, the persecution will be so great that when people see it, that they'll turn in their own family members just to prove that they are not one of the believers. And all of you, and on all of this, I want you to see that when someone accepts Jesus Christ in the tribulation period, it'll be like they're signing their own death warrant. It'll be like signing their own death warrant. When we get to Revelation 7, you're going to see that the multitude that is killed for their faith is beyond numbering. That's how great the persecution will be. It's how great it'll be. Notice verse 10, if you would. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? I want to point your attention to the phrase, them that dwell on the earth. It's so easy to read over that, but this phrase has a much deeper meaning than what we see on the surface. This phrase refers to those in the tribulation. Now listen to this. Who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but continually reject it. This phrase, them that dwell on the earth, is used multiple times, Revelation 3:10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The tribulation will be a 7-year period of time which will come on the earth to try or to test them who dwell on the earth. The test will be to see how they respond to the gospel. Revelation 14:6 says this, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. There's our statement again, into every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The gospel is going to be preached to every nation, to every kindred, to every tongue, and every people. Many will accept it, but many will reject it. And those who reject it are referred to in the book of Revelation as them that dwell on the earth. Don't miss that statement. Let me read for you some verses. Revelation 11:3-10. Listen to this. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devour their enemies. If any man will hurt them, he must be in this manner killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now listen to verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth, there they are again, shall rejoice over them. They're going to rejoice because God's two witnesses are killed, and make merry and send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. It's going to be Christmas when the two witnesses of God, when they are killed by the Antichrist, and they that dwell on the earth, this group of individuals, earth dwellers, they're going to rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another. That's what I meant whenever I said that it'll be Christmas. Revelation 12:12 says this, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. There's the earth dwellers again. Woe to those inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation 13:1-8, listen to these verses. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seed and great authority. And I saw one of his heads... as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now listen to the next verse. And all that dwell upon the earth, there's our statement again, there's those earth dwellers, shall worship him. The earth dwellers, that group of individuals that reject the gospel, they shall worship the Antichrist. And it says this about them, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Listen to me. These people know the truth, but they refuse to accept it, and therefore they are sent, I believe, a strong delusion from God. They're sent a strong delusion from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 8-12 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness and deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received it not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I used to think that those verses referred to people that heard the gospel today, and then once the rapture happened, then the door would be closed. But the context is though it's dealing with people under the rule of the Antichrist. It's dealing with the earth dwellers, those that dwell upon the earth, those that slay the saints, those that worship the beast, because they reject, they hear the truth, and they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Let me read another verse for you concerning the earth dwellers. Revelation 17:8, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth, here we go again, shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So let me get this down, if I could, to a conclusion. And then I want to talk to you about something with a little bit of time I have left. Well, let me ask you a question, first of all, and then I'll answer it. Why won't these people repent and turn to Christ? I mean, they're going to see the judgments. They're going to see the devastation, the death. A little bit deeper in Revelation chapter 6, when you have the heavens that'll be shaken, and you're going to have the people of the earth that are going to hide themselves in the rocks, and they're going to cry out for the rocks to fall on them. And then in verse 17, and they say this: for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I mean, they know what's going on. They hear the gospel, so why won't they believe? I think Paul got it in 2 Timothy 3:1-7. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There we go. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Luke 21:35 says, for as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Listen, to go into the tribulation period, to miss the rapture and to go into the tribulation period, is far worse than anything that you can ever begin to imagine. Far worse. You go into that period and you go in there unsaved. Chances are, you've heard the gospel and you've rejected it, and chance of you getting saved is probably pretty slim in that time. Your focus is going to be on survival. It's going to be on survival. Doing all you can just to be able to survive. And it's going to be all for nothing, because you may survive for a while. You may even survive the entire tribulation period. But what good's that do if you are lost in your sins and you are without a Savior? What good does it do if that's the case? You need Christ. You need Jesus. He's the only hope. We live in a world today, and there is... Listen, things are changing all the time, and there's very little that you can hold on to as an anchor because of all the changes that are taking place. But there is a hope, and there is an anchor. That hope and that anchor is Jesus Christ. That's who you need. He's the answer for your life. He wants you to come to Him, to trust Him as your Savior. He died for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. He died to pay for each one of your sins, because the Bible says that every one of your sins has to be paid for. Every single one. That if all of your sins are not paid for, then you will spend eternity in the lake of fire to pay your own sin debt. Jesus paid your sin debt for you. He died in your place on the cross. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That you can put your own name there. For God so loved you, you personally, that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus died on the cross. And if you are willing to repent of your sins and accept Him as your Savior, believe that He took your place. If you're willing to do that, God will forgive you. He will wash away your sins. He will make you a new creation. You will have a brand new beginning. God will change your life. Listen, Christ died to pay for your sins. But the only way to have that count for your account is to put your faith in Him. Then His death is credited to your account, and your sin debt is paid in full. That's what God wants you to do. Jesus died for you. Trust in Him as your Savior. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you ever desire a copy of anything that you hear on our program, the CDs are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us. When you write, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, we see you in church. Might you have a blessed week.